Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Samach Beis. We begin at the very bottom of Samach Aleph, Omud Beis, with the new Perek, the sixth Perek, Perek Hador. We begin with the Mishnah about 10 lines up from the bottom, Samach Aleph, Omud Beis. The Mishnah begins, Hadori Ma'akum. If somebody lives with a non-Jewish person, b'chotzer, inside a chotzer. Now, we will learn in this perek some of the rules of a chotzer, how you make a Erev Chatzeros. Again, we remind ourselves, midaraisa, so you'll have to carry from any one Rishus HaYochid into any other Rishus HaYochid. They're both Rishus HaYochid. There's absolutely no Torah prohibition in carrying from one to the other. But the rabbi said, if we allow to carry from your house into a chotzer, it looks very much like going from your house into Rishus HaRabim, and that could lead to a terrible mistake. And this is the rice of carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. So the rabbis instituted that you must make an Eruv Chatzeros. You must make some sort of a mechanism in place to distinguish and remind people that this is not something that you can do from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim by making this Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid into a special type of procedure that you must do called an Eruv Chatzeros. And we'll learn a lot of those dinim in this perek and onward. So, we start off by telling us that if there's a non-Jewish person living in the chotzer, or alternatively, or someone who doesn't believe in the din of Eruv. Who doesn't believe in the din of Eruv? So Rashi brings down, this is a kusi. The Omai Beperek Bekol Marvin. We learned previously that the kusim were people who came from the land of Kuta when Sancheiriv was Mevalvel the Olam, his modus operandi was to go and transplant the people from one area of the world to the other area of the world so they would have less of a reason to rebel, because even if they rebelled, they wouldn't be living in their own land. So he moved the people from Kuta, that's why they're called Kutim, to the Shomron area. And that's why they're also known as Shomronim, or Samaritans. And these Kutim, they originally did not convert, but then lions came and attacked them, arroyos with an olive, and they said, the God of this land wants us to convert. So they converted. And the question throughout Shas is, were they Geri Emes, or were they not Geri Emes? So the Kutim did not believe in many of the laws of Chazal. So this was one of them. The Kutim didn't admit, they didn't believe, they weren't molded to the law of Eruv Chatzeros. So if a goy or a kuti lived in your yard, what's the halacha? So the Mishnah tells us, Hareza Osir Olav. This goy or this kuti prevents the yid from carrying from his house into the chatzer. Otherwise, normally this would be a person carrying from his own Rishus HaYochid into his own chatzer, because halachically we might have said that the akum and the kuti don't ruin it for you. So this Mishnah tells us, Hareza Osir Olav, they ruin it for you. Now, this Tanakama, which we'll see as Rav Meir, holds in this way. However, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer differently. He says, it depends. Lo'olam eino oser. In fact, the guy, and Tosu says as well, that this is referring to also the Kuti. He says it goes on both of them. Mashma Tosu's Hador. Mashma da Tavayu koi Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. A'akum va'kusi. So this goes on both of them. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, one Yisrael isn't going to be ruined by an akum or by a kusi. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, "La'olam ainu oser," unless actually you shnei Yisraelim osrin zelzeh, unless you have another yid there. So each yid ruins it for the other, and then even if they get together and make an erev chatzeros, then the akum or the kuti will ruin it for them as well, unless they do something. And we'll see and understand why this is so in the Gemara, and we'll see what they need to do. Now, Amar Rabbi Leo comes along and says, "Ma'aseh b'tzduki echad." Now the Tzdukim were people that were the Talmidim of Tzadok, and the Baisusim were the people that were the Talmidim of Baisus. And unfortunately, their Talmidim went off the derech. Tzadok and Baisus' Talmidim didn't believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh. So what is their status? So Rashi brings down that according to Rav Gamliel, the Tzduki are not like Eino Ke'akim, Velo Domi Lekusi, because according to Rav Gamliel, the Kusi were Geri Ayroyas Heim, they were only converts because of the lions, the Einon Gerim Gemurim. So the Kusi, according to Rabbi Gamliel, is really an Akum. However, the Tzduki Yisraelu, they're regular, full-fledged, born Jews. The Nepach Leminos, unfortunately, they turned into heretics by not believing in the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Eino Modeh B'Torah Shebaal Peh, keeping the Yisraelu, but since they're Jews, Yochel Levatel Rishus below Shum Schiris. So they have a different halakhic status in that they can just give up. They can nullify their state of being in this yard from a halakhic point of view, and they can do something called bittul, as opposed to the akum or the kusi has to actually sell their rights to the yid. And we'll learn more about this as we go through this parak as well. So Rabbi Gamliel tells us that etzduki is different. Amar Gamliel, ma'aseh etzduki echad she'ador imanu b'mavi b'shalayim. They were living, a bunch of Jewish people, in one of these mavois in Yerushalayim, and the etzduki had given over his rights. He was mevatel. He gave over his rights to usage of the courtyard, so he no longer ruined it for all the other Jews. One Jew living in the courtyard who doesn't participate in the Erev Chatzeres can ruin it for them. But the Tzduki didn't believe in it. But he said, I'll give you over my rights, and therefore you guys can carry. V'amalanu Abba, so Rabbi Gamliel told the children, right, this is a story about Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel told the children, he said, Maru, quickly go. Go and take the kelim out from our house into the mavoi, establishing our right to use the mavoi. And this way, because achaloyotzi, until you go and bring it out and actually start using the mavoi, taking stuff from the house into the mavoi, v'yasolechem, the tzduki may retract and go back on what he said, and then he'll no longer be mevatel to you, because if he uses it or he retracts, so then you lost your rights to use this mavoi. So therefore, quickly, Rabbi Gamliel said to his children, use the mavoi, and this way you make it that the tzduki cannot retract. Rabbi Yehuda said that Rabbi Gamliel said something a little bit different. According to this first version of Rabbi Gamliel, he said, use it so he can't retract. Rabbi Yehuda said differently. He said, B'loshan Acher, in the following language, Ma'aru v'asu tzorcheim b'mavoi. He said, take care of what he needs to do in the mavoi right away, because he could retract at any moment. Achelo yutzi v'yesor lechem. If you don't go take care of it before Shabbos, and do whatever you need to do now to get your stuff out into the courtyard. Once it's in the courtyard, you're allowed to carry it because it's an enclosed area. Just we're talking here about within one Rishus HaYochid, you can definitely carry. So the only question is, can you carry from your house into the Rishus HaYochid that's different, the Schatzer or Mavoy? So he said, he has at any moment the ability to retract, even if you use it. So therefore, go and do what you need to do now before Shabbos in order that you shouldn't have a problem because you're taking care of it all now. As Rashi says, you do it mibojo, the Bishabbos lo mahani lehu hai bitul, because on Shabbos he could retract it at any time, shema yotzi v'yesor alechem, and therefore even before he goes and brings anything out, you're not allowed to rely upon his retraction, because the Kesavah of Yehuda afogav dechziku b'nei mavui b'mavui chila masila derebe, even though they used it first, according to the second version of what Rav Gamliel said, according to Rav Yehuda's version, the Tzduki's potential to retract is as if he retracted, and therefore you can't use it at all on Shabbos from your chotzer, from your house into this chotzer or this mavui. But if you use it before Shabbos, you'll get whatever you need out into the mavui, and then you'll be okay. Okay, we turn to the Yomar Aleph and we start the Gemara. Gemara begins and tells us, Yosef Abaye bar Oven was sitting with his brother, Rabbi Chinina bar Oven, and the two brothers were sitting there. Yosef Abaye Gabayu, and Abaye was sitting there, and they're sitting and learning. Yosef Karmi, and they said the following halacha. Bishlama Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, now Rabbi Meir is the Tanakama. Some actually had the Girsa in the Mishnayis, it says, David Rabbi Meir. In any event, Rabbi Meir is the Tanakama, so he said, according to Rabbi Meir, who said that the Kusi, or the Goy, ruins it for you, and you have to do something with the Goy or the Kusi, or else he will ruin it for you, even with single Yid. So Bishlama, according to Rav Meir, that even one Yid ruins it, we understand his Shita very well. He must hold, Ksava, Rav Meir must hold, Diras Ove Kochovim Shma Dira, that when a Goy lives in this courtyard, or a Kusi lives in this courtyard, he is considered a resident of that courtyard. And therefore, he ruins it for you unless you do something, which we'll learn about, that you have to go and rent from him his rights. So therefore, it doesn't make any difference since the goy or the kusi is considered a resident of the courtyard. The lo shno chad, the lo shno trei. We understand why Rav Meir doesn't make any distinction between whether one yid lives there or two yidin live there. It's the same thing. The goy has a residence there, the kusi has a residence there, and he ruins it. What does it make whether there's one or two yidin or 100 yidin living over there? He ruins it for you unless you go and rent from him. But Elo Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who said, no, one yid doesn't get ruined, but two yidin get ruined, we don't understand what's going on. Mike Sava, what is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion? Ik Sava diras obi kochav mishmo dira. If he holds like Rav Meir, that in fact the goy is considered living over there, so then afilu chad nami nitsa. Then even if there's only one yid living there, it should ruin it, just like Rav Meir said. No, obviously he doesn't hold like that. You want to tell me, v'ilo shmo adira, he says that the guy is not considered as having a residence over there in terms of ruining it for the yidden to carry on Shabbos. So then, afilu trei nami lo nitza. So then, why should it make a difference whether there's one yid living there, doesn't ruin it, or two yidden living there or more, and it does ruin it? What's going on? That's the question. That's what the two children of Rav Ovin were talking about in front of Abaye. They were asking this discussion. And Amalu Abaye said, the Sovar of Meir, Diras Akum Shmo Dira, according to what you're saying, you have no problem. Bishlomer of Meir, you understand that Rav Meir holds that Diras Akum is in fact considered a Dira. But that's not true. But Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Chatzero Shalovi Kochovim Hareyu Kedir Shobehema, that from a halachi point of view, his existence over there, the Ovi Kochovim's living in that courtyard doesn't ruin anything for Shabbos. Just like if you had a barn over there, the animals wouldn't ruin it for the Yidden on Shabbos, because the animals have no din of carrying or ability to ruin it for you on Shabbos. So too, the guy, he doesn't have any mitzvah of Shabbos, so he doesn't ruin it for you, and you don't have to do something, you don't have to buy his reshus from him. So Rav Meir clearly states, different than what you said. You said Rav Meir must hold Diras Ovi Kochovim Shmo Adira, but in the Braisa, it clearly says Rav Meir doesn't hold like that. So both of your understandings, not only realizing Yaakov you didn't understand, but even your understanding of Meir was wrong. So Abai says, you know what? Their understanding is as follows. This is the way the Mishnah needs to be understood. Elo de kuli amo diras akum lo shmo dira. Everybody agrees, as the Braisa says, Meir as well, that the dira of an akum doesn't ruin it for the people in the courtyard. Whether there would be one yid or whether there would be two yid, if that was the only factor, then everybody would say that the dira of the akum doesn't ruin it for you, and the yidin, as long as they make their own erev chaseros, one doesn't need to do it, but two, three, ten, they make an erev chaseros, doesn't make a difference that the goy is there, because diras akum lo shmo dira. Why then did our Mishnah say that you have to do something, whether it's according to Rav Meir with anybody, one yid, when it was Yaakov, only if there's two yidin or more? This is a gzeira that the rabbis made. What was that gzeira? The rabbis were concerned. Shema yilmad mimaisov komifligi. The rabbis made a gzeira. We're concerned. If you live very closely with a goyim, if you live in the same courtyard with them, if you live in the same mavi with them, you know what? You're going to assimilate. You're going to rub off their life, their style, their practices are going to rub off on you. And the rabbis were very concerned about this. Assimilation is a major concern throughout our history. So therefore, Shemo Yilma Mimaiso Komifligi, what Rav Elezer and Yaakov and Rav Meir are arguing about, is this gzeira that the rabbis made, how far they went to make it. According to Rav Elezer and Yaakov, he holds Sovar that if you have two yidin there, then there is this concern. But one yid living there isn't the concern. Why? Kiven Dovi Kuchovim Choshud Ashvichas Domim. Since we unfortunately know throughout our tragic history that the goyim will kill us very easily sometimes. There are goyim that, if nobody's watching, would kill us in a second. Even if they are watching, they'll kill us in a second. And therefore, no Jew in his right mind would live as a single Jew in a courtyard with a goy, because he'd never be able to protect himself. He'd be terrified for his life. So that's a very rare occurrence. And the rabbis don't make zeros for a dover sheino shchiach, for something that's not a regularly occurring event. The rabbis don't find it necessary to go put in gezeros. Therefore, Rav Elezer Yaakov says, one yid living alone in a courtyard with a guy, so the guy technically doesn't ruin it because diras akum lo shmo dira. And the rabbis didn't institute a gzeira over here that you're not allowed to live in a courtyard with a guy, because one person won't ever want to live alone in a courtyard with a guy because they're choshed on shvichas damin. However, two yidin living together say, hey, we'll protect each other. Hey, we're more in numbers than them. They're not going to start up with us. We'll be able to handle them if they start up with us. So now, when two yidden live together there in the courtyard with a guy, the shchiche the diary, that it's already much more common. It's a davar shchiach that two yidden are going to go live in this courtyard with a guy. Gazru b'hu. So the rabbi said, we don't want this to be a pal situation. We don't want you to get too comfortable there. So therefore, even though min hadin diras akum lo shmo dira, we're instituting a gzeira over here that you have to do something in order to live with a guy. It's going to be a hassle. As we'll see, the guy's not going to want to do this. He's going to feel that you're trying to trick him in some way. And therefore, it's going to be a difficult life if you can't go and carry there. Right? Neighborhoods that don't have Eruvim around them. So it's very difficult for young people to move into those neighborhoods. And those neighborhoods don't usually succeed. Therefore, the rabbis made a gzera when there was two or more yidden living over there with a guy. But they didn't feel it was necessary, according to Rav Elezer and Yaakov, to make a gzera when only one yid lived there. Chad lo shchiach lo gozer b'rabbanan. As the rule is, only for shchiach, do the rabbis go make his eruv? So with one, it's not a davar shliach. Chad lo shliach lo gozmir rabbanon. And two, it's shliach. So therefore, gozmir rabbanon. No, what does Rav Meir hold? Rav Meir holds no. Sometimes you don't have a choice. Your job is near there. You have to live there. That's the only place you can live. And the person says, I'm willing to take my chances. I'm a very strong guy. I'm a careful guy. I have good locks on my door. I'm willing to live alone with the guy. So there are cases where it's even a davar shliach, or it could be possible, according to Rav Meir, that even one yid will live there. So therefore, the rabbis will go there under all circumstances, even though dira sakam lo shmo dira, but they said, even one yid living with one akum, you have to make some sort of an accommodation. Now, the Amru Rabbanon, the rabbi said, Ein Erev Moel b'makom akum. Your Erev, the rabbi said, the Gzera is because of Shama Yilmad Mimaisav, that we do not allow you to make an Erev. Even though, from a din point of view, because their Dira is not considered something that could block you, the rabbi said, no, we're going to say that their Dira does block you. So even though Ein Erev Moel b'makom akum, the Ein Bitul Rishus Moel b'makom akum, you can't make an Erev if there's akum there because of this Gzera, and the akum is not able to be Mevatel his Rishus to you. The rabbis didn't allow this Bitul to work by an akum, unless Achi Yaskir, you have to go and rent from him, and therefore you're renting his rights in the yard. The akum is going to say, something's fishy over here. Why are they trying to rent these rights for me? What's going on? But akum lo moger. Rashi explains, the akum is not going to be willing to do this. He's going to suspect that something fishy is going on over here. Rashi says, lo yerotzil haskir. And that's going to accomplish what the rabbis want, that you don't live together with the guy, because you're not even going to carry in that yard. And therefore, a person can say, this is not a good place to live. He's going to move to a nice Jewish neighborhood, and life will be good. So therefore, that's the underlying gezeira over here. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says, it only applies when you have at least two yidnik, because one yid would never live there alone. It's not a davar shliach. And Rav Meir says, yes, it could happen. Now, my timer, what exactly is the thought process behind the guy saying, I'm not going to rent it to you. Lo mogar. So there's two possibilities here. The Gemara will explain. Ilema, if you want to tell me, Mishum de Sovar, Dilma Osi Lachazuke Birishuso, because he says, hey, they're trying to rent it to me, not just from Shabbos. Then all of a sudden, Sunday's going to come and they're not going to let me use the yard. And Monday's going to come and they're not going to let me use the yard. Something's fishy going on over here. If that's the thought process behind the guy not being willing to go and rent it, so then that works out great. That works out great if you do a real healthy sliras, bria literally means healthy. So if you do a good rental, so then the guy is going to be suspicious. They're trying to go in and do something over here because it's a real rental. And all I know is that I said just for Shabbos, but all of a sudden it's going to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday as well. So this works out great. We understand why the guy is going to say, I'm not renting to you, because he's concerned about it being a sliras bria and he's going to lose his rights. Ella, according to the opinion, l'man d'yomar sliras re'ua b'inan, that even a plain weak type of a rental is acceptable. So then what's the problem? Why would the guy say, lo moga, I'm not going to sell it to you? Michael and Emma, what's he worried about? The Itmar, now what is this machlokus between a sliras bria and a sliras rua? Because it goes along the following that we learned. The Itmar, because we learned, Rav Chist omar sliras bria, Rav Sheshis omar sliras rua, that this type of rental that the guy has to do. So Rav Chista said it has to be a real healthy rental. It has to be a valid, bona fide rental. And Rav Sheshis said, nah, it could be this weak type of a rental, like a minimal, not a real type of a rental. What exactly is going on? My re'ua, my bria. I haven't really translated what a healthy one and a weak one is. So now we're going to try to understand it. Now, we start off by suggesting, Ilem, or if you want to tell me, Bria means bepruta, that it's worth a pruta. And Ru'a is pachad misho bepruta. And a weak rental is something that's worth less than a pruta. So, okay, if it's worth more than a pruta, it's significant. If it's worth less than a pruta, it's really not a real deal. Shmuel says, that's not true. Mikol aman d'yomar, me'akam pachad misho bepruta, lo Bria. Who says that when an akam rents it to you for less than a penny, that's not considered a real rental? By a yid, we say that Pachas Mishava Pruta is worth nothing. But by an Akam, they hold that even less than a Shava Pruta is worth something. So while a Yid, we might be able to make a distinction between a rental that's a Pruta versus a rental that's less than a Pruta, you can't make such a distinction by an Akam. As we say, V'har Sholach, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yaakov, Bar Giuri, Mishmed Rav Yochanan, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yaakov, who was the son of Giuri, said over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan when he came from Eretz Yisrael. This is less one of the less common people. Amoraim that came from Eretz Yisrael tell over the Torah from Rabbi Yochanan to the people in Babel. We have Ravidi, Ravin, we have others. So this is a less commonly known Amora. And he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Heavy Yodin, you should know. He says that a rental from an Akum, even for less than a Shava Pruta, is a valid rental, because they hold that less than a Shava Pruta is something significant. As we see from the following din, the Omer Rab Chia Barabba, Omer Rab Yochanan, Rab Chia Barabba said in Rab Yochanan that a Ben Noach is Nera, I got Pachas, Mishava Pruta. There's one rule for a Ben Noach. They have the Zayim Mitzvah B'nei Noach. They have much less rules than we do, but their rules have stricter punishments in some way, and they are Chayiv Misa for stealing. They're Chayiv Misa for being over the Zayim Mitzvah B'nei Noach. And therefore, if they steal, they're going to be Chayiv Misa. And their stealing, even of a Pachos Mishava Pruta, is considered significant, because they hold that Shavas Mipacha Pruta is significant. By a Yid, we say, well, we don't really care. If it's less than Shava Pruta, it's not a big deal. But by the Akum, they say it is a big deal. So here you see clearly the Ruchia Barabbas saying Rabbi Yochanan that a Shava Pruta, Pachos Mishava Pruta, is significant by a guy. Furthermore, Lo Nitan Li Shavon. And by a Yid, as a rule, if you steal, so you don't get Malkus, because you Heshivis Akzela. You have to return what you stole. And it's Lavani Takli Asay. You're not supposed to steal, but you don't get Malkus for it, because if you go and return it, you can undo the stealing. But there is no such similar concept. Lo Nisan Li Shavon. The Gabi Yisrael Rashi says, Ksiv Heshivis Akzela. Avol Biakim Lo Ksiv Hashava. Hilkach Kivin Shavar. As soon as the guy steals, that's it. End of the discussion. Now, Gubeno Mashalim. He can't get it back. He can't give the item back and say, I'm sorry that I stole it. No. So this din is brought down over here, not for the second part, lo nitan li shavon, but for the first part, that the narag apachas mishavon pruta. So therefore, this is considered significant. So how can you tell me, what was Yahavi meaning to say, that a valid type of a rental, a schirus bria, was more than a pruta, and a schirus ru'uah was less than a pruta? That's incorrect. So that can't be the understanding. So what is the understanding? Ella, you know what the understanding is? Bria, a good rental, is b'moharke v'aburgine. That means that you're allowed to go and take out, Rashi says, l'malos echotzer, b'safsolim, with benches, v'katidros, which is some sort of a chair, im yirtza. So you can go and take out your furniture and put it into the courtyard. Now, if it's a public courtyard, you couldn't be able to do that. Oh, it's a valid rental if you're able to do that. That's how good the rental is. That's called a schirus beria. And what's an example of a schirus ruah? Well, you can't do that. Ruah, below, moharke vaburgine. That you can't go and take your stuff out into the chatzir, into the mavoi, so that's considered the weakened form of the rental. Now that we understand what beria and ruah is, we can understand what's going on. That why would the guy be reluctant to sell it to you? So, ha nichel man diyama schirus Schirus Beria, but you know, and according to Man Yom, it says you need to do a real Schirus. So since you have the right to go put your chairs out there and you put your benches out there, the guy's going to say, hey, this is not just a Shabbos thing. They're trying to take over my property here. I'm not going to let him do it. And therefore, in general, he's going to be unwilling to do so. And the rabbis desire that you not live with the guy because of assimilation will come true, because he's not going to rent to you. And Bittul is no good. And even though the Schirus a diras akum is not considered a valid dira, the rabbis made this gzera in order that you not go and live with them. And it will work, so, because it's a schirus bira. But even according to the opinion that says, sheshes schirus ruah is good, right? The first opinion, schirus bira, that was Rav Chista. Rav Sheshes said that a schirus ruah is good, so you can't bring your benches out there, you can't bring your chairs out there, so the guy's not going to be concerned. So why won't the guy be moger? Why won't he rent it to you? El man the yom eschirus ruah ba'inon ma'ikal meimah. What are you going to say? So Rav Sheshes would answer. Afilu hachi, he says no. Chashis akum l'kshofim. The akum says, why did they tell them? They can't carry? I don't understand. Inside the house, they're lifting everything they want. They go outside into my courtyard. They're not allowed to carry. Something fishy is going on over here. They must be doing black magic. And therefore, I don't want these Jews doing black magic on me below Mogar. And he's going to refuse to rent it. So even if a Schirus Ruah would be good, and they don't have the right to bring the chairs and benches out there, he's going to be concerned that they're trying to do some black magic. And ultimately, the guy's not going to be willing to rent. And therefore, the rabbi's gezeira will come into effect, that you're not going to go and assimilate with them, because you're not going to want to live there, because you can't carry on Shabbos. That is the understanding of our Mishnah. But now, Gufa, we go back and analyze this a little bit more closely. So we have the statement from Rav Meir that We brought that in the Braisa where we said Chatzero shel Ovid Kochavim Hareyu Kedir shel Behema. We said that no, the Dira of the Ovid Kochavim is not really considered a Dira. It's no different than the barn. It's no different than the stall of animals that you have there, that just like the animals don't ruin it for you, so too the Akum can't ruin it for you. And therefore, if there are no Yidden living in this yard, Mutu Lahachnis Lhotzi, you go into the guy's house, he's your friends with the guy, he's a colleague of yours at work, whatever, and he says, let's go sit outside, it's beautiful outside. You're allowed to go and take from his Rishus HaYochid house into the Rishus HaYochid courtyard, because there are no Jews living there, and there's no need to make an Erev Chatzeros in this situation. Therefore, Mutu Lachnis Lotzi, Minachotzi Labatim, Minabatim Lachotzi. You can bring the chair out, you can bring the chair back. That's because there are no Yidden living over there. V'im Yesham Yisrael Echad, if there is even one Yid living over there, Oser, he ruins it for you. Now, the Braisa that we have says Divrei Rav Meir. On the side, it says in Tosefta that we don't have the words Divrei Rav Meir, but this is Rav Meir's opinion. So the fact that a single Yid lives there, according to Rav Meir, we said it's not totally Dover Shalosh Shliach. It could happen that a Yid has forced to live over there, so therefore the rabbis would go through this situation as well. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, or Rav Elezer ben Yaakov from our Mishnah, says the same thing in the Brice here, Leolam Eino Osir, Achshu Shnei Yisraelim Osrim Zalzeh, that the Yid will not ruin it, a single Yid will not ruin it, but if there are two Yidden over there, then no person can carry from any of the houses into the courtyard, unless there's an Erev Chatzeros, and they rent the rights from the guy, because of the discussion that we just had previously. Now we turn to the Amud Beis. And the Gemara continues and says, Amamar, now we dissect this little piece, Chatzeru shel Akam Hareyu Kedir shel Behema. First we quoted the Gufa, the entire Braisa, and now we're going to dissect each piece. So when we say Gufa, we quote the entire thing. Amamar, we quote part of it. The first part was, the Chatzer of an Akam, Chatzeru shel Akam Hareyu Kedir shel Behema. What exactly does this mean? We learned it different than our Mishnah. For Anan Tanan, Hadori Ma'akam Chatzer Hareza Oser Alav. On very Mishnah, the beginning of Perek Hadar, said that if you live with an Akum, Hador Ima Akum, so then he is going to ruin it for you. So how can you tell me that it doesn't ruin it for you? So Gemara says, Lo Kashin, that's not a problem. Ho de Isay, Ho de Leisay. What we're referring to in our Mishnah is when the Akum is actually present for that Shabbos. So then he ruins it for you. And the Brice that it says that Chaseru Shel Akum Hareyu Kedir Shel Behema is where the Goy is not there that Shabbos. Ho delay say. So the Akum only ruins it for you if he's there. He doesn't ruin it for you if he's not there. Rashi adds that that's only if the Akum is not there, he doesn't ruin it. V'im Yesham Yisrael Acher, if there's a Yid living over there, then he's also Abeso Shel Akum Afilu Lesel Yisrael. Then the Akum's house is not allowed to be used if there's Yisrael there, even when the Yisrael is not there. So now the Gemara says, Umay Ksava, what exactly is the opinion of Rav Meir? Iksava Dira below Balim Shma Dira, if he holds that when nobody's there, it's a Dira below Balim, is going to ruin it, it's considered a Dira, so then Afilu Akum Nami Nisar. So then, if nobody's living there, so if he holds it, it's still considered like somebody owns that and ruins it, so then what difference does it make if it's a Yid or an Akum? Afilu Akum Nami Nisar. Iksava Dira below Balim Lo Shma Dira. But if you in fact say that a dira that doesn't have anybody living there is not considered like there's a person living there, so then what difference does it make, as we just pointed out from Rashi, that if a Yid lives in the house, even if he's not there, he ruins it, but Afilu Yisrael Nami Lonitsa, why is that be so? If you're telling me that if you don't live there, then you don't ruin it, so what difference does it make if a Yid lives there and isn't there, or if a guy lives there and isn't there? The din should be the same. So why did we say that, no, if the Akum's not there, he doesn't ruin it. But if the Yid's not there, he does ruin it. That's the question. So the word says, Li'olam k'sava dira b'lo balim lo shma dira. In fact, if nobody is there, it doesn't have the status of somebody being there that could ruin it for you. So then why by Yisrael do we say that it does? The reason is because the Yisrael, by the Yid, the chi'isei osar, if he's there, he ruins it for you. So even if he's not there, gozu be'rabbanon. The rabbi said, no, we're still going to make it as if he's there. But the Akum, the Chi'isei, it's only a gzeira. So technically, the Akum's dira is not considered a dira. The rabbis instituted a gzeira here because they didn't want us to assimilate. So Shema Yoma Mimaisav, and you're going to see how he acts, and you say, hey, I like to do that also, and it's going to take you away from following the paths of the Torah. So the rabbis instituted a gzeira. But when did they institute the gzeira? Only if the Akum is there. Ki ise osar, ki leise lo osar. And that's the reason why there's a difference between the Akum being there, the Akum not being there, versus the Yid being there, the Yid not being there. So That is the answer. Gemara says, really? V'chileisei lo asar? If the Akum is not there, there really is no gezeira? Is that really true? But none. But we're going to learn in the Mishnah later in the Masechta, where it's going to teach us that it says the following: Hameniach es beis. So if a person leaves his house, v'holach lo lishbos biracheres, and he goes to live into another city for that Shabbos, this is true. Echad noch v'echad Yisrael, whether it's a yid or whether it's a guy, Otzer, he still ruins it for you. Divrei Rav Meir, these are the words of Rav Meir. So how can you tell me over here, Rav Meir holds that delay say if the Akum is not there, he doesn't ruin it for you. It says b'feirush in the Mishnah later on that he does ruin it for you. So Gemara says it depends how far away he went. Hosom the Ose biyome. There he was within travel distance. A guy doesn't have tchum problems. A guy doesn't have a problem. He can get on a donkey, get on a car. So therefore, he's within reach. So he could come back at any point in time. And that's why if the Akum doesn't go that far away, so then it's like he's still there. That's what the Mishnah later in the Masechta says. But over here, we're talking about that he went far enough away. So therefore, Hodelay say, if he's not around, he doesn't ruin it for you because he's too far away. He's not coming back. So now we finally understand what's going on between the Mishnah, the Braisa, the Mishnah later on. How do we paskin? Amar Yehuda Mashmul. So Yehuda Mashmul says, Halacha k'Reb'Elezer ben Yaakov. We paskin k'Reb'Elezer ben Yaakov that if there's only one yid living over there, we don't make any such gezeira because it's a davar shelo shliach. But if there's more than one yid living there, two or more yid living over there, then all of these rules that we just said do apply. So he says the halacha is like Reb'Elezer ben Yaakov. Rashi says the halacha means darshinan law bepirka berabim. You publicly learn this and you announce this to all. That's what halacha means. Rav Huna said not as strongly. Rav Huna amar minog k'Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. The minog is to follow Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. What does that mean? So Rashi says, bepirka lo darshina. You don't make a public shear about this. However, avol aruye marina lo bebol lishol. If somebody comes to ask you, what is the halacha? You'll have to paskin and tell him, this is the halacha. Finally, the third opinion is Rav Yochanan. He says, Nagu, not Minhag, but Nagu. The people were Noeg, Nagu Ha'am, K'Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. They tended to follow the opinion of Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. Rashi says, what does this mean? Uman Dar Minhagu, according to Rav Yochanan, Aruye Nami Lo Rinan. Not only the person, we don't announce it publicly in a shir, but even if the person comes to ask you what the halach is, you don't say the halach is like this. However, after the fact, Avali Avde, if they follow this ruling, lo machinam biyadayu, we say, okay, good enough, you can leave it the way it is. Now the Gemara starts the following discussion. Omale Abayla Rav Yosef, Abayis Rav Yosef, Kaimulon, we have the halacha as follows. Mishnas Rav Elezer ben Yaakov Kabinoki. Or Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, he's not mentioned a lot of times. He's only a kav, a small measure. He's only measured a couple of times in Mishnayis, but whenever he's mentioned, it's Noki. He's very, very careful. And therefore, we follow his halacha in most situations because he's very, very careful about what he says. So that's the first statement that Abaye says to Rav Yosef. The halacha is like Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. So the Gemara now asks, Mahu lo ruye bimkom rabo. There is halacha that if a person says halacha in front of his Rebbe, in Jechayv Misa, we learn this out from Shmuel, a little two-year-old Shmuel, said of halacha in front of Eli, and he was going to deserve to be killed. He was unique. He was a two-year-old. And normally, the dinim wouldn't apply. But he was Shmuel Hanavi, even at that age. He was a great Talmid Chacham. So he was more Alach in front of his Rebbe. So he deserved to die. Chana Davin for him. It's this child they wanted, and Shmuel was saved. In any event, you're not allowed to say Alach over in front of your Rebbe. What about if it's so crystal clear and straightforward? Does this din apply that you're not allowed to say halacha, you're not allowed to be more halacha in front of your Rebbe? Would it apply in this situation to say that the halacha is like Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov? Because we say that Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov is kavinaki, so it's so clear that we paskin like him. If you say in front of your Rebbe that the halacha is like Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov in our case, so would you be over more halacha lifnei rabo? Mahu laruye bimkom rabo. So that's what Abaye asked to Rav Yosef. So Omalei, so Rav Yosef responded and he said, Afilu beyaso bikutcha. Even a question, are you allowed to eat an egg with kutach? Kutach is this dip that they used to have, Rashi reminds us. Sheisbo nisyove dechava. It has some milchika stuff in it. It has some spoiled milk in it. And it's pashut that an egg is not considered fleishach. Even though an egg comes from a chicken, so an egg that's laid is not considered fleishach. That's how Rashi learns this. And therefore, the question that Rav Yosef was saying, if a person were to ask, can I eat an egg with milk? So he wouldn't say that in front of his Rebbe. So Rav Yosef asked from Rav Chista, his Rebbe, and this question, he asked him, can you eat an egg with milchiks? And he asked this from Rav Chisda because he wanted to see what Rav Chisda would do. And kol shnei de Rav Huna, as long as Rav Huna, Rav Chisda's Rebbe, was alive, v'lo oreh, he didn't tell him. So even something so straightforward and simple as this, you're not allowed to say. If your Rebbe's around, you're not allowed to say this. That's the way Rashi understands this. Tosfos says, no, that's too simple, too straightforward. Everybody knows that an egg's not fleishich. So it's talking about an egg that's found inside a chicken, and it's fully grown inside a chicken. You shech the chicken, you find a fully grown egg inside, so that egg is also not considered like a chicken, that egg considered parva. So that was the question that he asked. Not as clear and obvious, but if it was so clear and obvious, like can you eat milchus and fleishes together, so that not called being borah halacha in front of your Rebbe, that's just telling him what's obvious. Similarly, Amalei Rav Yaakov bar Abba li Abaye, Rav Yaakov bar Abba asked to Abaye, what about Kegon Megillas Tainis, Tchsiva Umancha? Things that are written down in Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis was a sefer that basically listed all of the holidays that the Jewish people had, minor holidays. Today, the only ones we have left are Purim and Chanukah. But they had many days. On this day, we were able to overcome an evil decree by the Goyim. On this day, something good happened to us, and they had minor holidays. And they were all written down in Megillas Tainis. So, Malo Arui Basrei de Rabbe, is a person allowed to say something based upon what's written down in Megillas Tainis in the shtot of his Rebbe, Basrei de Rabbe. So, can't that be called Mora Halacha? Or no, that's not called Mora Halacha in front of your Rebbe. So that's what Rav Yaakov bar Abba asked to Abaye. And Amalei, Abaye said back to him, Hochem Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, that which we just learned, Afilu be'aso be'kutcha, even an egg in kutach, the egg is considered parv, and it's in milchix, not a problem. He said that Rav Yosef asked that all his lifetime, bo minei Rav Chisda, kol shnei de Rav Huna, while Rav Huna was alive, he asked Rav Chisda, who was a Talmud of Rav Huna, and lo aruye, lo ore. He didn't tell him the answer. One more story, and then we'll finish. Rav Chisda Ori B'Kafrei B'Shnei Rav Huna. Rav Chisda did paskin halachic decisions in the city of Kafrei while Rav Huna was still alive. We turn to Amud Aleph, Samachim Amud Aleph, and likewise, Rav Amnuna Ori B'Charta the Arges. He paskin in the city of Charta the Arges. Rashi says Charta is the name of the city. Arges is the name of the person that owned the city. B'Shnei Rav Chisda, while his Rabbi Rav Chisda was alive. Tosfos points out that there obviously are two Rav Hunas. There was a Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rab, which is earlier, and then there's this Rav Huna that was a Talmud of Rav Chisda. So when the Rebbe's not around, so then you are allowed to go and paskin. So this halacha, that if your Rebbe is around, you're not allowed to paskin. It's only if he's right there in that town with you. But if he's in a different town, so then you are allowed to paskin even during their lifetime. We have two stories that said that. With this, we conclude today's share.